Welcome to this time together. We begin with Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise, have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." I'm pretty sure that this has probably happened to you as well. The other morning I woke in the dark. I stumbled into the bathroom. I hit the light switch. That was a mistake because I was blinded by my sudden emergence from the dark. How often has that happened to you? I mean, think about the irony that a light that's intended to assist in the darkness can also blind you from seeing anything at all. We've all been there and done that in different ways and at different times. When we're used to darkness, light can be too strong to take in and can blind us before we can adjust, and then it can reveal what it needs to reveal. It's no different than driving a car on a back road at night when it's really dark. Headlights are so necessary to see, and yet if they're coming from another car, they can blind us and we can see nothing. Light overpowers the darkness, but darkness can blind us just like light. Now think about all this as you think about the story we just read from Matthew's Gospel. One day Jesus' disciples saw Jesus light up the sky. They'd gone up this mountain on a sunny day. They could see clearly, and yet the glory that came from Jesus was so intense, they were blinded by the light. Now, they were used to a certain level of light from the sun, but the God light that we call the glory of the Lord blinded them for a moment. It was as if they were in the dark again and were incapable until their eyes adjusted to this gift of glory and understanding who Jesus really was. They were so used to normal, ordinary, three-dimensional visions caused by the balance of light and shadow that the intense, pure, unadulterated light that began creation so long ago was more than they could handle. They were used to earthlight, which is defined by shadows. This godlight was more than they could even imagine. Now, if you think about it, this moment was no different than their daily excursions as disciples when they kept moving from clarity to confusion, from light to darkness. One minute they really were with Jesus, and other times they were totally confused, as if they were in the dark. That's a situation we can all relate to as well. Now, like everyone else around them, the disciples had hoped Jesus would be an earthly Messiah, an earthly Savior, an earthly ruler, who would bring all the goodies they were waiting for. They were ready for border security, the defeat of Rome, prosperity, a good, easy life. And then they saw Jesus in all his glory. And when Peter wanted to build tents, what he was really saying is, we don't want this to end. We want to keep this vision bright and alive. We want to stay and bask in this glory forever. They had no way of knowing. They didn't understand yet that the true glory of Jesus would be revealed only through his sacrifice, surrender, and death. You know, I think we have to be really careful not to be too critical of these disciples. We would have reacted the same way. Their perspective was no different than ours is today. Don't we assume that if we have faith in God, if we're walking with Jesus, that we should have glory right now? That he should make everything perfect, just the way we want. Wouldn't we prefer to live on a mountaintop, close to the warmth of the sun, rather than in a cold, dark, shadowy valley full of broken things and scary things and even death? Aren't we confused when another war begins or an illness strikes and our faith starts to shake a little bit? For some reason, we think faith should bring heaven to earth. We shouldn't have to deal with anything bad or difficult, ever. We're no different than those disciples. But it was for the dark places of our life, rather than the moments of glory, that Jesus came in love. And even though that glorious vision that they experienced quickly faded, it revealed to them who Jesus was. And it showed them that he could brighten even the dark shadows of any valley. Now, the disciples wanted that bright light to last. But Jesus said, no, it's time to move on. And reminded them his true purpose could only be found in the darkness of a crucifixion and the black hole of death we call a tomb. Now, at this time of the year, we're not that far away from Christmas. We still remember the glow of angels and a star over Bethlehem. Even in the midst of winter's darkness, we have still been able to celebrate God's special light. But for the disciples, this powerful vision of Jesus' glory was temporary. As the light faded and the shadows returned, it's no different for us. As cuddly, cute little babies grow out of their mother's protective love and into the confusion and darkness and mistakes and frustrations of an imperfect world. It was the same for Jesus, who was born not to stay in a manger as a postcard picture with shepherds and wise men, but to gradually grow into his role that culminated in his passionate walk into the valley of death. And this time of year is a season of darkness and shadows. And this is also the season in the church that we move into called Lent, which follows Jesus' footsteps to a cross and tomb. There are a lot more shadows than light in that journey. You've heard Psalm 23 so many times. Think about it now. Those words that say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Those words begin our annual trek into a journey we call Lent. We just heard how Jesus showed his future glory on a mountaintop, but then he left that mountaintop. Just as we leave Christmas and move into Lent to follow his journey into the shadows and the valleys that darken our imperfect lives, that's the road he had to travel. For the glory he showed in an instant to be made clear for all time. This moment on the mountaintop is what the church calls the Day of Transfiguration. That word means the appearance changed. Jesus changed his appearance for a moment and then changed it back. This Day of Transfiguration moves us back to the valley of real world living, but with a hint, a peek, a gaze at the next mountaintop to come. This time up on the mountain with that vision of Moses and Elijah was a preview of coming attractions, a sneak peek of what Easter would ultimately reveal. Because Jesus left this mountain of transfiguration to go through the dark valley and shadow of death, because he was headed to another mountain peak called Calvary, which wouldn't have three tents, but it would have three crosses. And that would lead to an even greater surprise. Just as Jesus left this first mountain peak to join us in daily living and in our valley of the shadow of death, he then climbed another mountaintop called Calvary to lift us to the glory of a new creation that we call Easter. That's what we're getting ready for. That was his real goal from the moment of his humble birth in a manger. Lent is our transition time, our journey from the mountain peak of shepherds and angels and wise men back through the real world to that mountaintop experience called Calvary. In Lent, we remember his journey so that we understand it is tied to our journey. Like our earthly pilgrimage, our earthly life on this planet, Lent suspends our time in a sin-filled valley between these two mountain peaks. One is capped by glory and bright light and this vision. The other mountain peak was topped by the dying love of grace. In Lent, we live between these twin peaks of Transfiguration and Calvary. You know, this is really hard for me to think about, but it's so frustrating that it's taken two family deaths, the death of my first wife, the death of my first child, for me to become a better husband and father. And it's still a work in progress. And yet, as I look back, it was that walk that I had to make through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that Jesus was the only way I could ever recover, that I was prepared for a brighter life in a different pasture. It made me remember what was so easy to forget, and try now not to forget what I should always remember. What has changed me, just as it has for many of you, is the journey. And without that journey, I would still be who I was before that valley walk. Disciples always learn that. Jesus came not to shelter us from a storm, but to shelter us in the storm. What a familiar tension this is. We move back and forth from the extremes of bright lights and dark shadows, with normal days being somewhere in between. And that's where Jesus came to live, in between life and death. in between heaven and earth, in between God and the devil, to change our script for all time. There's a wonderful epic called The Lord of the Rings. I hope you've read it. I hope you know the story. It's worth reading. Because The Lord of the Rings was written by Tolkien, and it's the same story we've been talking about, but he told the story of Christ's mission on earth in a unique way. In The Lord of the Rings, the glory and power of creation was symbolized in a solitary ring of gold that everybody wanted. Everyone wanted that power and that glory. And the only way for the world to be saved from the Dark King, who was trying to control that glory, was for that earthly ring of gold to be destroyed in the depths of a dark mountain. And I'm sorry if you don't know the story, I'll give away the ending, because deep in the darkness, when that ring was finally destroyed, life and light returned. The shadows were gone. Evil was gone. Out of darkness came life. And from what appeared to be certain destruction came the peace and joy of a glorious new kingdom. Doesn't that story have a familiar feel? As we prepare to remember a burial and death in a week that we call holy, when darkness was destroyed forever, the journey of the Lord of the Rings is a mirror of our Lenten walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What a parable it is for Transfiguration, Calvary, and Lent. What a simple illustration in this wonderful book of the message of Christ, the triumphant, suffering King. And so the glory of God on the mountain first had to be buried under a mountain of sin called death. And only when that earthly body was laid to rest could that heavenly body be revealed on Easter, and a glory that can never be taken away was revealed for all time. The world had to wait a long time for Easter, for the Christmas star to shine so brightly again, where angels would sing and the glory of the Lord would be fully revealed. But that's what the message of the gospel is all about. The twin peaks of Christmas and Easter, with a dark valley in between. Each makes sense only with the other. Together they are the miraculous glory of a God who loves us so much now and forever. We all long for bright lights and easy living. But sometimes we relearn that it is in the darkness that we finally are able to understand the true power and purpose of God's light. As we walk from the darkness of childbirth to the darkness of death, Christ reminds us that he has come to make the world's darkness into a bright light of a new beginning forever. 2 Peter 1, verse 19, we hear these words, "You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. And now we have peace."